may be able to consider that perhaps on Wednesday or Thursday, but I use the word consider. I would also, on that note, like to indicate to everyone that you will see two assistants here, and that is purely because there will be a change. And so, yes, we have Miss Seabrooks here on the left, but on my right here, we have Miss Yvonne Manakaza. Is that right?
Yes.
Thank you. So the Manco will get a better understanding of how that will work. Having said that, there are also issues around members who have indicated that they really do appreciate the Tuesday to Thursday issue and not Friday, which enables them to get back. So we will try and observe that as much as possible. Then on the adoption of the agenda, there's just one more thing. There is a need for when we return, and this will be handed out. We will be returning on the 31st of July, you will recall. Why is it important to put your park address and various other things? Because the committee will play for this flight. So the committee needs to know, that's Mr. Hermans, Mr. Medina, and other staff members, where you need a flight from. All right, I hope I'm clear. And the meeting is 10 a.m. on Tuesday. So some of you may need to fly on the 30th. So that's why I'm raising this issue. So we need to know the time and, you know, the city, I suppose, or airport from where you're going. To let you know, we will, as usual, finish at 4 or whatever on the Thursday. So you, knowing that, you need then to note the times that you will be leaving. Will you be leaving that evening on the Thursday night, or will you be leaving on Friday morning? I hope I'm clear on that one, because from here, they will process the bookings. All right, now if you're not entirely clear today, you may complete it tomorrow. May I hand this out then, starting from Honourable Mantash? All right. Now, can we please have someone to propose the adoption of the agenda? Thanks, Honourable Tierko, seconded by the Honourable Mantash. Right. Now, I would just like, we are about to proceed on the deliberations on the Copyright Amendment Bill, but as I wasn't here on Thursday, and just to refresh everyone's memory as well, I would like to ask the whip of the committee, the Honourable Khadebe, just in a couple of minutes to indicate where we are and what we're about to do. And then I will note the apologies. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, we appreciate the fact that you are back with the committee. I hope that the challenge you expressed last week has been extinguished. Let's hope for that. But when coming to this issue of the work we're doing here, I think the department presented extensively last week on Thursday, and then we dealt with all the issues which were raised. And then there was this voluminous work which is in front of us. Because what we agreed upon is that this morning we are going to deal with the matrix. That is, the advocate will indicate from all the clauses of the bill what we agreed with, and then where there are grey areas, in the areas which must still be attended further. Because there are certain issues like the company and intellectual property commission were put in. We expected them to be in, and then the department was expected to help them with some sort of drafting and definitions, and then the advocate was going to tweak it accordingly. So from these books, from this voluminous books which is in front of us, I think that's the matrix we agreed upon. So what we're hoping for is that today we go through the matrix so that everything which we discuss, we put it into perspective, so that at least by tomorrow and Thursday, we deal with this thing clause by clause and then throw it away. And then, yeah, we throw it away. and come back on the 10th July, it can go into the House by August. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much. On that note, it seems everyone agrees as to where we are, the status. I noticed that I indicated I may be late. I always say that I'm on a flight, but I am on time. Advocate Elbert has a medical apology. And Mr. Mabiba from the Department of Arts and Culture will attend on Wednesday and Thursday. Ms. Flanguini has party business. And Mr. Williams, well, I should be saying Honourable, of course, Williams, has a medical apology. With respect to people who are here, officials, we have an apology from CRPC. What has been written here, they are undergoing examinations of one kind or another. But then we have representing the DTI, the DDG, Dr. Evelyn Masocha, Ms. Mashendri Padiachi, Mr. Nkosinathi Mkhonza, and Ms. Gregoria Mabaso Mavungo, Director. Thank you for all being here as a team, Ms. Naidu and Mr. Malangisi, and also I think Mr. Janssen, you're also here. On that note, thank you very much, Advocate van der Merwe, the Parliamentary Senior Crafting Expert Professional. Will you lead us in, as the Honourable Fadebe had indicated?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, members. If we can start on page one of the matrix document with the long title. Now, there's no outstanding issues on the long title because the long title is simply something that reflects the content of the bill. So that is why I've indicated there that we will consider it at the end. So it's not something that we can decide on now. It is once everything is done, then we will just revisit the long title and make sure that it reflects the contents of the bill. Clause 1, which amends Section 1, deals with definitions. And again, this is something that should be considered at the end, because it's only once we know what the content of the bill is and where we're looking at what needs to be defined that we can consider this. But maybe something to put in the back of our minds as we work through the bill. Depending on what the decision is on fair use, fair dealing, the definition for orphan work might have to be removed or adjusted. The definition of tribunal, depending what the decision is on the tribunal, might have to be amended. For Clause 7, we will need a definition of visual artistic work because we haven't used this word before. There is something that I am proposing for visual artistic work. I've received additional information from Ms. Herling this morning that I'll have to go and have a look at that has a broader meaning, so I might have to make other proposals to the committee, some alternatives for you to consider, so what must be in and what must be out. But at this point in time, because with the concern with Clause 7, it deals with resale royalty rights. So the comment that we had there was that it must be limited to visual artistic works only. It can't be any artistic work. So that is the proposal for now. But like I say, let us keep it in the back of our minds, not really do anything about it right now, because it is more where the discussion about resale royalty comes in that we'll see what this definition should be. Then user, there was a request from Department of Arts and Culture for a definition of user, and Trade and Industry has indicated they will come back with a definition there. Then if we go to Clause 2, which amends Section 2A, this deals with the scope of copyright protection. On this thing, the committee is in full agreement at this point in time. No amendments are required. There are no outstanding issues. So that clause, unless a member sees something that they want to bring up, at this point in time, there is nothing outstanding. The next is Clause 3. With this clause, this clause deals with Section 5, the copyright in relation to the state. In other words, what the state owns. And what was agreed on was that the word funded by the state must be removed. Members will recall the concern around funded by the state is that then any work which receives incentives from the state would also belong to the state. And that was problematic. There's also research legislation that conflicts with this principle. So the agreement was that the words funded by must be removed. So that there is agreement on. There is still something about the clause also provides for local organizations, whereas the Act in itself only provided for international organizations. There was a subcommittee decision for the whole clause to be removed. In other words, that the Act should remain as it is, only applicable to the state and international organizations that are prescribed, not local organizations and international organizations generally. So that was a decision by the subcommittee, but we haven't discussed it again in the portfolio, so I've indicated that as flagged. There is also another issue flag, which is a concern raised by the Department of Arts and Culture, and I'm now over onto the next page, that works owned by the state are being commercially exploited by researchers, made available online. I see I've got a typo mistake, in fact. They propose something called clear rights management to be introduced. So that is an issue that we haven't discussed yet either, because it's a brand new issue. If I can just point out, I did not make a note here, but if we bring something in about this exploitation, there will be a need to advertise before we include this in the bill. So what I have there then below that concern is the current proposal. In other words, that funded by be removed, and then you will see that the international or local organizations at the moment still remains in the bill until the decision is taken on whether that should be removed as well. Then if we go on to Clause 4, which deals with Section 6, the nature of copyright in a literary or musical work. And at this point in time, there are no outstanding issues. It appears that members are in agreement, so there's no amendments required on that. The next, Clause 5, which inserts Section 6A into the Act, the committee agreed that this clause should provide for contractual freedom and a portion of the royalties received when the work is used must go to the author, regardless of whether the author sold his or her copyright in the work, but we want a template. So if I can maybe remind members of what the concerns were, so that we just understand what we're doing here, because I'm a little bit removed from the bill in this document. What we had is that where an author sells their work, for this is now a literary or musical work. So for instance, I wrote a book, I'm selling my book. But it's a special type of agreement. I release everything, copyright, everything goes to the next person. Then that person can make copies of my book and sell it, make money. I get nothing out of that. I was only paid for the sale of the book. So what we're trying to do here is to say no. If it's a literary or a musical work, even if you have transferred your copyright, you are still entitled to a portion of royalty. So there was a concern about the bill prescribed a 50-50 split. So there was a bit of a concern about that, contractual freedom and so on. So what we have done then is to indicate the committee also agreed that the actual template for a contract between the author and the buyer, there must be minimum requirements in the bill, but that will be prescribed by the minister at a later stage. The one thing that is still outstanding is the retrospective application of this, because that has constitutional implications. So what we have is one thing that we thought could happen, and in fact I proposed that, was that we could perhaps look at existing contracts to be renegotiated. But as I drafted, a couple of questions arose, and I thought again about this, because what, for instance, if the author cannot be found? What do we do in that instance? How far back should we go with these existing agreements? Because remember, I'm not talking about the current situation, I'm going to sell and then this clause applies. We're talking here about agreements in the past, before this bill comes into operation as an act. So what if the author cannot be found? How far back should we go with existing agreements? What if it was sold to a corporation? The corporation bought the work 200 years ago. Should that contract be renegotiated? You know, what would be the situation there? Within what period of time must the contract be revisited? Will we give a 48 months period for people to do so? What if people can't reach an agreement? What will be the actual impact? If you can't reach an agreement on these existing contracts, you must go to the tribunal. Will we not totally flood the tribunal with the number of contracts? So just all of those thoughts, I'm just throwing those out. We need to just think about if we want this retrospective application, saying existing contracts we need to be renegotiated, of course that would have to be advertised for comment because it's something new. So maybe those questions can also be answered by the public. But those are things that we need to consider. So what we've done there is I've taken the proposal by Trade and Industry of a redraft, and I have just made it a little bit, recrafted it a little bit. So subsection 1 of the new section 6A, so over onto the next page now, will indicate, and I've borrowed here from section 20 of the Act, so it is in line with how the Act is currently drafted. So notwithstanding the transfer of copyright in a literary or musical work, in other words, regardless of the fact that you've transferred your copyright, the author will have the right to a percentage of any royalty received by the copyright owner, subject to the provisions of this Act, for the execution or authorization of any of the acts contemplated in Section 6, which deals with literary and musical work rights. Then subsection 2 indicates how we will look at this royalty percentage. So we say, first, it is determined by a written agreement, which will be in the prescribed manner and form. So that is where the minister will prescribe a template between the author and the person to whom the author is transferring copyright. I had to explain it a little bit more, because if I say copyright owner, there could be subsequent copyright owners. We only want it with the immediate transfer, so I had to explain it a little bit, or the representative collecting societies. Then I made it also clear that any subsequent sale of the copyright, so in other words, I'm the first new copyright owner, I'm not the author, I'm just copyright owner, I sell it on to someone else, then that sale, it must also be subject to this agreement for the split. So otherwise I think we might be creating a loophole. We will quickly sell it, and then that person will sell it to a company, and then the whole thing falls flat. So that is just to cover that loophole. And then subsection 3 deals with where the author and the person to whom it was now transferred. I think I might have the wrong words here for transferee. I might have my words wrong. I will just have to double check if I have the right word there.
I don't think there's any harm in coining the odd one.
So I will just have to double-check my words there. I'm a bit worried about them. I think I might have got confused myself when I was doing this. If they can't agree, they may then refer the matter to the tribunal to determine the amount. Then subsection 4, it indicates the minimum requirements for the agreement that they must enter into. In other words, you want the rights and obligations to be there, you want the royalty percentage or either agreed on or as it's ordered by the tribunal, the method and the period within the amount must be paid, a cooling off period, and a dispute resolution mechanism. So the cooling off period was because there was a proposal for exit rights for the author. So that is just to provide for that. So just subject to those change in respect of the transferor, which I think must be transferee. So that is the current proposal, and then we repeat it in one or two places. So I'll maybe go a bit faster when we go to the next, when we get to it at the next section. Going over onto the next page then, the clause 6, which deals with section 7. This is the nature of copyrights in artistic works. And again here, there's no outstanding issues. It appears that the committee is all in agreement with what is happening there. So there's no amendments required. The next clause 7, which inserts section 7A, royalties regarding artistic works. The first clause here, and it's more or less similar to what I've just went through, where notwithstanding the transfer, you shall be entitled to the split, etc., etc. The DTI, when they presented, indicated that this clause should be deleted, as resale royalty would provide for this payment. But the concern that was raised was that, first off, resale royalty is limited to visual arts, so there's other artistic works that would then not have this sharing. And also, resale royalty is only for the resale of a work, not for the reproduction, publication, for making an adaptation of the work. So this issue is flagged. So we need to look at whether this clause 7A should in fact be retained or deleted. If the decision that it is retained, it should be amended the same as what I've just gone through now. In other words, notwithstanding the transfer of copyright, you will have a right to a percentage. That percentage will be determined by written agreement. Any subsequent sale will be subject to that written agreement. If you cannot agree on the percentage, then you can go to the tribunal to determine that and the minimum requirements of that agreement. So it will simply be almost a copy and paste exercise, but just changing the necessary sections and so on as they arise there. The next is clause 7, which inserts section 7B. And this is now where we deal with resale royalty right. What was agreed was that it must only be applicable to visual arts. As I've indicated earlier, Ms. Hurling sent me a little bit of a little bit more information on resale royalty, where she looked at what other countries regard as visual arts that qualify for resale royalty. So I'll see if I can make a little extract of that and just put something up for the members so that when we get to resale royalty, we can decide what must this apply to. Because one of the concerns, for instance, is should it apply to all sales? What if it is a sale between me and the DDG? It's a private sale. It's not something, how will you track? You know, she walks into my house and she says, I love that painting. And I say, you know what, give me 50 for it, 50,000 for it. And she says, that is my bonus, I'm going to give you 50,000 for it. And she pays me 50. Who will know that that thing passed ownership? You know, how will you determine that? So that is one of the concerns. How do you enforce something that you don't know? So if it's a private sale, perhaps it should not apply to a private sale. And then what Ms. Erling did when she looked at other countries is it seems that other countries are limiting it to public auctions and things like that, where I am a commercial purveyor of art. So in other words, I sell art for a living, that kind of situation. So that we can then look at when we look at resale royalty right more in detail. But what the committee has agreed is that it must be visual art. In other words, some things must be excluded. So we can just look at that definition. The other aspect is that it must be applicable to all works, even if that work was created before the act, this amendment bill will become an act. The rationale for that is that it doesn't help that we bring this resale royalty right in now, and everything that was created before this amendment act becomes operational then falls by the wayside, and it only applies to work going forward. So it won't be a question of if you sold something in the past that you must pay, that we won't touch because that will be clear expropriation. There's a lot of considerations to do that. But if you sell in future, there will be this resale royalty right. So the one thing just is that we will have to advertise and call for comments on this specific aspect. The other thing is that there must be provision made for reciprocity. Reciprocity is simply that where we are member to a treaty, and in that treaty other countries give their members, give their citizens that right, then there should be a reciprocal giving of rights, sharing of rights with that country. So what the drafting proposals then in the next line there is first to replace the word artistic work with visual artistic work, so wherever that appears, and then of course we'll have to have a definition for visual artistic work. Then specifically, in respect of the reciprocity, what I propose is subsection 3 to say that who is entitled to this. We answer it as follows. So number one, if the author is a South African citizen or a citizen of a designated country. That also then resolves our concern that we have on whether you're a resident, a legal resident, an illegal, or a refugee, etc., because it will only in respect of the citizens and then with your treaties, citizen of a designated country. Then subsection 5 will speak to the designation. So in other words, the minister will then designate these countries by notice in the Gazette. And the reason that it's done this way, rather than referring to a specific treaty or so, is that it is clear, so that there is certainty. And then as a member state, a state that is a member to the treaty, withdraw, the minister can withdraw that designation. So subsection 6 then is where we make it applicable to visual artistic works made before the commencement date of this bill once it becomes an act. So I've kind of borrowed here from the National Credit Act because that was the wording that was used there. So it simply says it applies to a visual artistic work that was made before the commencement date if that visual artistic work falls within the application of the Act. So in other words, if it wasn't original, it would not be something that is considered. The next issue there is Clause 7, which deals with Section 7C, and the proof of author. We're still on resale royalty. One of the things that was mentioned...
Just hold on a minute. I'm looking in the Act at the top of page 9, which refers to the same thing, at least my page 9, draft 2. And it reads, the minister may be like notice withdraw. I'm wondering, I can't understand that English. You know, am I misunderstanding it?
No, Mrs. Ups, I'm sorry. That is simply a bit of a drafting mistake. Thank you for pointing out. We'll have to fix it. I do apologize. It was drafted a bit under very, very short period of time. What it should read is the minister may by notice, and I think... may by notice withdraw any designation contemplated. So it's probably just a typing error or where the computer corrected something. Clause 7, Section 7C, proof of author. What was required or what was mentioned here was how will an artist... I think it was Albert who made the example. An artist goes to a company and shows the work that he or she has created. That company rejects the work and says, no, we're not interested. 2 or 3 months later, the artist sees an adaptation of his work up. And so the problem is, of course, how would we protect that? And the example that he showed, he made, was more in respect of a play or a film, so literary work. But I'm asking the question because we mentioned it under artistic work, resale royalty, which deals with artistic. is it only in respect of literary work? Should it be artistic work? Should it be almost any work? So that is maybe a consideration. Perhaps it would fit better in Section 21. Again, we will have to advertise for comments because this is something new. The other issue that is flagged is the issue of indigenous cultural expressions, indigenous community. What the DTI indicated is that these phrases can all be deleted in the bill as they will place reliance on the structures created by the bill of Department of Science and Technology.
Yeah.
The concern, however, is that that bill has not yet been passed, it's not enacted, so we cannot legislate on something that is not an act yet. So it is something that is flagged. I have also, and you will see there below that, drafted a transitional provision should we retain these phrases. So any reference in the Copyright Amendment Act to the phrases indigenous cultural expression, indigenous community or national trust shall only be effective upon the date on which the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Act becomes operational.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the transitional provision if we retain them. But it is not that it must say there. If DTI says no, but it won't be these institutions that are being used, it will be something else, then we need to just look at how that is done. If it is something that's currently in existence, we can just refer to that. But that is just something where we'll have to get a little bit more information from DTI. What I've also just indicated there, that in respect of registering your work in some kind of database, there might have to be an amendment to Section 21. But these things are flagged and will have to be discussed at a later stage. Over onto the next page, Clause 7, Section 7D. We're still dealing with resale royalty right, the duration of the resale royalty right. It seems that there are no outstanding issues and there's no amendments required. The next, Section 7E, still resale royalty right, and this one deals with transmission of royalty right. Indigenous community, again, removing, same issue. Do we know where the terms are that we will use? Then we can remove it. If not, we'll have to just rely on the transitional provision. So it is something that is flagged, but it goes with other clauses. So it's probably not something that has to be discussed by itself. It is part of a broader issue. The next, Clause 8, Section 8, the nature of copyright in cinematograph films. There's no outstanding issues there, so no amendments required. Clause 9, Section 8A. There's no outstanding issues, but it needs to be amended, the same as Clause 5. In other words, notwithstanding the transfer of your copyright, you will be entitled to a percentage. I'll just correct again because I would have made the same mistake because I used the one to the other, the transferor and transferee issue. I will just make a note there. Royalty percentage determined by a written agreement. Any subsequent sale will be subject to that written agreement. Where you can't agree on the percentage, you may refer the matter to the tribunal. And then lastly, subsection 4, what the agreement must include. The next is then clause 10, which deals with section 9, the nature of copyright in sound recordings. There are no outstanding issues on that clause, so there's no amendments required. Clause 11 deals with section 9A. And what was agreed on is providing for log sheets to be kept. But what the committee does have to still decide on is whether the log sheets requirement replaces the whole process, or is it something in addition to the process that the bill provides for. There was a concern that the process is cumbersome, that that people won't be able to comply. What this is about is your needle time concern. So a radio would play a song, and then what the bill currently provides is that they must ask for permission, or if they play it, they must, as soon after they play it, get the necessary agreement, reach the necessary agreement with the copyright owner and so on. And the concern was that you're actually going to stifle the industry because this is a very cumbersome process. What the DTI indicated is that it is not so much about the process, it is about the fact that your companies that play the music don't keep records. That's where we then got to the log sheets situation. So you will see the next line. We've made provision for the lock sheets to be included. The question then, just as I say, that is flagged, is do we provide for both the lock sheets and the process of getting approval, reaching an agreement before you play the song, or do we just provide for the lock sheets and see if that would improve the situation?
Just a minute, please, Advocate. Just on that clause 10, when we turned over, and section 9, do you recall that? What page is it in the actual bill, you know, red, green, and black bill, as it were?
Clause 10 is on page 12.
Ah, there it is. Thank you very much.
The next clause 11 is still on page 12 in the bill as well. So the next question then, should failure to report, because what we do with the lock sheet is there must be a report. And the question then is, should failure to report at all or to report fully, should it be an offence? Is that something that we want to bring in? A need to define user. This is where from Arts and Culture indicated that there needs to be some definition, and DGI indicated that will give us something there. And the same concern about Indigenous community versus DST bill or a transitional provision. So I won't go into too much detail there. On the next page, you will see the proposal for the log sheets. So what I've done is I've used paragraph A, capital A, which currently is where the process starts in the bill. So we can decide if we are replacing it or if it is something in addition. So what it simply says is that a person who performs an act contemplated in sections 9, C, D, or E, which deals with the actual sound recording, the rights, nature of copyright in sound recordings, must register that act in the prescribed manner and form, and must submit a report to the performer, copyright owner, or collecting society, as the case may be, in the prescribed period and manner for the purpose of calculating the royalties due and payable by that person. So that is what we have on the log sheet. So, like I say, if you read it like this, question then is, should the failure to report be an offence? That is one thing to consider. If we then go on to clause 12, which deals with section 11, and in the bill, clause 12 starts on page 15. This deals with the nature of copyright in program carrying signals. There are no outstanding issues on this, so there's no amendments required. Clause 13, the same, that is over on page 16 of the bill, which repeals section 12. Section 12 deals with general exceptions from the protection of literary and musical works. There's no amendments required here, but what we are starting to move into now are the clauses that deals with fair use, fair dealing. So what we have done when we drafted the B bill was to remove section 12 because it was limited to literary and musical works, and we started inserting 12A, which then deals with all works and the exceptions related to all works. Then if we go, in fact, then to clause 14, still on page 16 of the bill, which now inserts 12A, this is where we will then have to have our discussion on the hybrid system. So DTI will provide a list of all the wording for how we will do this hybrid system. We have found some indications from Singapore, and how they worded it, and Ms. Herling actually found a translated copy, not very well worded, but at least something that we can work with on the WIPA website. So we've referred DTI to that, so that we can maybe look at using it as an example, but of course taking our bill into account and what we have in our bill. So that is something that we'll get from DTI still. And that is over on the next page, in fact, where I indicate that. Then just one of the things that we have is to remove the phrase underserved populations. So what it just reads is What it reads is general exceptions from copyright protection. So in addition to users specifically authorized, fair use in respect of that work for purposes such as the following does not infringe copyright in that work. And it says expanding access for underserved population. And when we interrogated that phrase a bit, it was very unclear. We don't know what that means. So the agreement was, let's rather take it out because it is vague, and it, of course it opens it up to interpretations that we don't want. So that is just what I'm proposing there, for that actually to be removed. And of course there will then be adjustments to the numbering following that. The next clause is clause 14 still, but now 12B, and 12B is on page 17. This is specific exceptions from copyright protection applicable to all works. The one, first off, this clause provides a list of exceptions. So this clause in itself would fit in with our hybrid model because there is a list of exceptions. So that is good. The one thing that was agreed on is to remove the word public information, and if I can just read to you what the problem is, it's copyright in a work shall not be infringed by any of the following acts. Then if we look at if, the translation of such work by a person giving or receiving instruction, provided that such work is translated and communicated to the public for non-commercial public information purposes. And again, the phrase public information does not make sense. It's not clear what it is meant. So the agreement was to remove it. So what it now says, copyright shall not be infringed by the translation of work by a person who is giving or receiving instruction, provided that the work must be translated and communicated to the public for non-commercial purposes. Clear. So it must not be something it has to do with giving or receiving instruction, and it must be non-commercial that you are releasing it to the public. The next clause, clause 14, I apologize, there is still on 12B one issue that we need to consider. That is J, which is over on page 19, which then says, copyright in a work shall not be infringed by any of the following acts. J, the making of a copy of such work by an individual of, number one, Roman numeral one, the individual's own copy of the work. And there was a concern that this almost indicates that if you have a copy of the work, you can make as many copies as you want. There's no limits. There's no limit to it. So that is just something that is flagged, that we need to just see if it can be adjusted or if it should be taken out. So that is flagged under that clause. The next section, 12C, we're still with clause 14, the temporary reproduction and adaptation. 12C is on the bill on page 20. This clause, again, provides a list of exceptions. So it could fit in quite easily with the hybrid model. So there's no other outstanding issues there, but of course, like I say, depending on what DTI brings, we might have to look at it, but at this point in time, it gives us a list of exceptions, so it does fit in with what we are saying. The next 12D, still on page 20 of the bill, again, this clause provides a list of exceptions, so it would fit in with the hybrid model. The only outstanding issue on this clause is the issue of indigenous community. So the same issue, like I say, it's not something new. It is something about the IP Laws Amendment, whether we should have a transitional provision or if it can be provided for elsewhere. Then if we go to clause 15 on the next page of the matrix, and clause 15 is on page 22 of the bill.
Just a minute, Advocate. Now, yes, this may well have been discussed. I know that it's come up before, the issue of educational, etc. And one has had numerous emails in this regard, and I did indicate to one correspondent that I was not here the last couple of days, but that I would clarify the matter. So for me, it would be very helpful to understand
when it came to these activities, I understood the book, you can't have a professor suddenly say, let's have 500 copies of X, you know, or 100 copies of Y, that we need to manage that better. So I understood that was flagged, we've got a question mark. But here we're coming to broadcasts, you know, the sort of social media issue. Now, some countries are beginning to legislate this, as you know. But I wondered, in this, to do with educational and academic activities, having just seen my grandchild's homework, they're using this, you know, to do these different things and copying from X, Google, and Y, and Z, you know, to pull it in. And then they create this composite what, it's called a vision what, and then that's the project. But they've taken from all over. Now, does our bill cover what, I'm not sure what the right terminology is, but it's from the social networks, it's also from Google, etc., where you just take, you know, and then you put it together, and it becomes your work. Yes, Honourable MacPherson?
Thank you very much. Advocate, I just want to understand on its page of the bill, page 20, 4C. And while I understand the intention of that point, who determines what a reasonable price is related to a comparable work in South Africa? And what if a comparable work in South Africa does not exist? How are those 2 points determined?
We're not quite there. We're still on page 20, but we are coming there, yes. So that's why we allowed you to move on. But let's go back to the advocate then. Oh, yes, Honourable Mantash.
I thought that way you wanted us to clarify. You had a question?
Yes, I did. So that's why I said
we're on page 20 at the moment of the bill. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. May I maybe pass these two questions over to the DTI, because these are very much policy and practical answers.
Thank you, Chair. We did discuss extensively the issues around the education last week in terms of the importance of having some of these areas in our bill to ensure that we address issues of access and the concerns that you are raising about the use of information from different sources. It's one of the concerns that have been raised about exploitation that may occur with the use of the word of the work. But I will request Ms. Henry Parayaji to also come in to just add to assist with this question. Thank you.
Yes, do go ahead.
DTI.
Oh, sorry. Morning, everyone. Thank you, DDG, for the opportunity to answer this question. I think it's very important that we also need to note that we are in the digital economy, and that is the purpose of the exception in terms of education. As long as the source is being quoted, I don't think plagiarism is allowed in schools, and for you know, that's very significant that we will always name the source, whether it be Google or the article or the journal article. But as you yourself said, that it's not big parts of the work being used. It could be a small sentence that is being used, and that is the essence of what the provision is, that you're not taking a substantial part of the work. And because it's in the digital environment, the exception allows you to use these different social networks, where back in the day we would just quote a book or a textbook that we used. For example, just to bring it a little bit more home, if we used one of your poems just to cite a small or one or two lines, we would not be using your entire poem, but we would then quote you as the author, and you would be recognized, and that also is important for your moral right, because we would not be misrepresenting your work in any way or form. But it will be, it is limited in that section as well. You can't use the entire internet.
Yes. Thank you very much, Ms. Mashendri, for that. Thank you. We come back to Advocate van der Merwe, who you did hear the request from the Honourable Dean, you know. Sorry, I was just on MacPherson. So if you would address that as you go along, you'll see it right on the next page. All right.
Thank you, Chairperson. May I also pass that question to the DTI, because it is also one of practical application.
Dr. Masocha.
Thank you, Chair. I will request, can you just respond to it on the mic?
Ms. Mashendri, how's that mic of yours? Like that.
Can I just have a few moments, Honourable McPherson, just to look at it and...
Yes.
Come back, please. Yeah, because it was a bit interrupted.
So point 4C relates to the making of copies for educational purposes, and in this point, it relates to the an entire textbook, which may not be for sale. In South Africa, or cannot be obtained at a reasonable price in South Africa, or can't be obtained at a reasonable price for a benchmarked against comparable work. My two questions were: who determines what the reasonable price is, and how do you do that if a comparable work does not exist?
That's quite a tricky one, that one. Did you want to come in there earlier, Honourable Khadebe, and then Honourable Yesterhazen?
Chairperson, on that point regard, I think that we know very well that there are certain books from certain disciplines, in particular in the natural sciences, where we found that most of the books which are used in South Africa are actually imported from abroad. But let's say that book is not in here, but usually the benchmark which is usually used is the International Monetary Exchange. I think that's one benchmark which can be used. Let's say if a book is bought from Russia, it's from Russia exclusively, one coming to the Soviet Union, and then in Russia it will be sold in rubles. But then to have a fair mark is when you do an exchange between a ruble and a rand. How far is that? Or because the exchange also fluctuates, usually you keep on for a certain period of time. Uh-huh. Also for the previous 6 months, what is the average exchange rate between the two currencies? That's how it can be done. But as I think the market, Honourable President, like to use the issue of the market forces sometimes. That's where they come in, together for the market to determine the exchange rate of this thing. But I think the department still has to answer for that.
Yeah.
Who, at the end of the day, I think the valid question, who will sit down and determine the fair rate of
Dr. Masocha, did you come in immediately after the Honourable Yesterhazen, in case the two issues are connected?
Chair, thank you. I've made a few notes as the Advocate for the Marvel went along. But as Honourable McPherson mentioned just now, regional powers, I've also got a little concern there. I think a textbook, it cannot be obtained at the price originally related to the normally charged in a country for comparable works, can now be only reproduced without permission. And I'm also concerned what constitutes a reasonable price. It remains a mystery, actually.
If one may add, and one has seen very high-priced academic goods, as we all know, I do know that some of these books come in what are called hard, and when one engages with the publisher overseas, they're quite happy for this to have just a little soft cover. And that hard cover is a fair price. So there are all those issues probably to take account of. I use the word probably. Dr. Masocha?
Thank you, Chair. May I request that we flag this to come back to the committee? We will not respond to it now. We will go back and come back.
What's the going rate for Franz Fanenbock now?
Yes, I mean, one is surprised at how much is copied, and then there isn't the same hue and cry. But let us proceed. Page 21.
Thank you, Chair. The next then, clauses 15, 16, 17, 18, all repeal certain sections. What they repeal are general exceptions regarding specific works, cinematograph films, sound recordings, broadcast, published editions. There's no outstanding issues on these. These general exceptions are now similar to the one that I've explained, section 12. They are all taken into your 12A to D. So that is just why these are appealed. The next clause, clause 19, which is on page 22 of the bill, deals with general exceptions regarding the protection of computer programs. The only thing that is flagged here is there was something raised by the public that perhaps we could broaden the clause. What we received from Anton Mostert, Chair, was computer programs should also be made available for teaching purposes, educational use, or providing disabled access. From UCT, they've indicated the exception should be expanded to include a broader range of legitimate uses, including reverse engineering to create interoperable hardware. Only software is now covered to repair products that are subject to copyrighted software. So DDI, when we had the presentation, proposed the inclusion of the words education and academic activities. So that is in line more or less with the Anton Mostert Chair proposal. So what I've done is to propose something for drafting, but because this is flagged, I haven't included it in the bill yet, was just to say in 19B, then subsection 1, to just break it up a little bit to say a person having a right to use a copy of the computer program may, without even getting the authorization of the copyright owner, observe, study, test the functioning of that program if the person does so while performing your normal acts with the program, loading, displaying, executing, transmitting, or B is then the proposal as part of educational academic activities. Not sure if that wording is necessarily sufficient, that's why it's just a proposal. I don't think DTI has had a long time to actually consider and think about it, but that is maybe something that can then be tweaked, something like that. The next clause, 20.
Was it 3 years ago, word processing, the Microsoft Word, had some huge challenges in the United States because it wished to copyright, take a monopoly on a certain platform. Is that not a program? I mean, I'm just putting it to the younger members here. Mm-hmm. I would have thought that was a computer program that was being flagged there. And it was against the law. They actually could not do that because it would have prevented innovation. It would be useful perhaps if we could ask DTI to look back at that issue. I may not be absolutely correct on the facts, and to check on it, please. But that was a huge computer case. Thank you. Would you continue, Advocate?
Thank you, Jim. The next
is then clause 20, which deals with section 19C. This is on page 23 of the bill, and deals with general exceptions regarding the protection of copyright work for libraries, archives, museums, and galleries. This issue is flagged because there is a concern raised by Arts and Culture whether this exception should in fact be applicable to galleries as well. So what I'm saying is what goes for libraries, or in fact they are saying more should come out, but DTI is saying with libraries, archives and museums, you have the same principles.
Yeah.
Perhaps galleries are different. So that is maybe something that the committee need to discuss and see if galleries should be retained in this section. And I suppose if we say that it isn't exactly the same, the question still remains, should there then be any exception applicable to a gallery, and if so, what? So that is something that is flagged. The next clause, 20, still, now section 19D. This is on page 26 of the bill. This deals with disability exceptions. There's currently no issue outstanding on this, no amendments required. Clause 21, section 20, this deals with moral rights, and we are looking at page 27 of the bill. There's also no outstanding issues on moral rights, so there's no amendments required at this stage. The next clause, 22, which deals with section 21, starting at the bottom of page 27. This issue is flagged. What it currently provides, and the concern is, let me maybe first start and with saying what we are dealing with here. Section 21. So in the Act, section 21 deals with ownership of copyright. And what we are changing are, in fact, this is the one that deals with commissioned work as well, and that is the concern. So when we look at commissioned work, so the ownership of copyright is a bit misleading, but it is very relevant. It's just that with commissioned work, your ownership is different. So what the clause provide is if there is no contract governing the relationship, and apologies there again, a typo, if there is no contract governing the relationship, the person who commissions the work is the copyright owner. The author then gets a license to do anything with the work that the copyright owner is entitled to do. The concern, however, that is raised is now in practice, you have two people at the same time who are allowed to exploit the work. So it impacts on the right of the person who commissioned the work. Or if you do it vice versa, I think the Canadian model is where the author is the copyright owner, but the person who commissioned gets the license. But then you will still have this conflict where if both can use the work, etc., then that creates conflict that we have. What DTI is proposing is a system where the author may approach the tribunal and request permission to do certain acts with the work, even though the author is not the copyright owner because the work was commissioned. So instead of a license, the author can go to the tribunal and say, I would like to use this work. And I think what especially was mentioned is sometimes you will have big film companies or TV companies who would commission work. For some reason, nothing happens to the work. It is shelved. It goes into the live, into their archives, and it's never used. Now, the author would like for his work to be shown. So that is then the kind of situation where the author, what DTI is proposing, is that the author can then go to the tribunal. The tribunal will look at the nature of the work, the rationale, why the copyright owner doesn't want to use the work, public interest in granting some license and some tariff. But this is what DGI says, we must maybe change it so Gerardo has this. But they were also proposing that perhaps at this point in time the clause should be removed so that they can just rework it a bit more. But that is why this issue is flagged. The other concern there, number two.
Thank you, Chair.
Number two there is more a drafting issue. What we say is that the ownership of any copyright shall be governed by contract. Provided that in the absence of a valid contract, we then have the following. Now, we are contradicting ourselves in the bill. You can't say you must govern by a contract, but then we say you don't have a valid contract. So I think it is probably just to say if your contract doesn't specifically provide for ownership, I think that is maybe just the way we need to reword it. And then also, I would propose that we say a written contract rather than so that it's not something that is verbal and it's very, very difficult to prove. And then something else that was brought up is the other concern was about commissioned work is, and I think this is where the Canadian model was used as an example, the license that the person who commissioned gets allow them to do very specific things with the work. So in other words, I have commissioned you to take, I think the example we got during the previous meeting was I have commissioned a photographer to take a picture for me in respect of my hotel, and I've said that I want to put this, blow it up big and put it in my entrance lobby. Then the next thing that the photographer sees is that this photo is being used to advertise this hotel. It is used in other forms, etc., etc. It's all over the show. So everyone now starts using this photograph because it is very nice, but it was much broader than what the commissioned purpose was. So if there is an agreement, of course the agreement will say what the purpose is. Perhaps something that we can consider is to also have a list of things that the written contract must contain, things like the purpose and so on. And then, of course, you will be able to refer something like that to the tribunal, but I'm asking the question, is that something that we want to refer to the tribunal? So this issue is definitely flagged. There's a number of things flagged around commissioned work.
Then, Honourable MacPherson.
Thank you very much. I think this is a very tricky one because, as I've previously stated, people who commission work may be doing for a private reason, may be a portrait of their family, and then an author may believe that they have a right to either replicate that if it is of a person of substantial social standing, or they may want to have it in a gallery. And so I think that the copyright of commissioned works is something that really needs to be given due consideration, because in essence it is a business transaction between a person who provides the service and a person who is commissioning that service. And while that service may be in artistic in nature, it still is a service that they are rendering. It is a professional service. And for me, at that point, I don't believe that ownership could continue to exist in the hands of the author that is providing a business service in the work that they do. And so I'm very hesitant about a tribunal now adjudicating in if there is no contract in place about whether whether the nature of the work should be displayed, if it is in the public interest, and so on and so forth. And the problem is that these things often have unintended consequences. And so, DDG, I would really think that the department would need to consider, in my opinion, the service that is rendered in a commissioning of a work, and for it to be viewed in that particular context and not necessarily as in one where ownership or rights are shared or equal, because I don't believe in that instance that they would be particularly so.
I was looking at this here, and admittedly you've had the benefit over me of having done this work already, but it looks as if it has been flagged already, so may we come back to it, please? Thank you.
Now, I'm not sure who you
are, you know, and we're in the middle of a bill. No, I'm just saying that I don't know if you're a member of another committee. I really don't know who you are, sir. Who are you? Are you from Parliament, you know, a member of Parliament?
No.
At this moment in time, we won't entertain your hand. Thank you. All right, can we please proceed, Advocate van der Merwe?
Thank you, Chair. The next clause is clause 23. That is on page 28 of the bill, and this deals with assignment and licenses in respect of copyright. What has been agreed on by the committee is that the 25 mandatory period should first it should be not be 25 years, but up to 25 years. So that we have done. But the concern that was raised is so the right is assigned. The person to whom the right is assigned then gives rights to use that work. I think the example was a film. So you have assigned your rights in a music score that is sold to a film. The other country's right is then 50 years, but ours is 25 years. So what I was proposing is that your right, if your right reverts to the author, then the author will just receive any royalties under that agreement. Perhaps what we just need to make provision for is that any agreement that remains in place must be honoured by the author to whom the rights revert. So that is just something to keep in mind there. What I have only amended, but that is flagged, what I have only amended there is the up to 25 years. So it shall only be valid for a period of up to 25 years from the date of the assignment. So that is just a proposal there. The only issue that is flagged is the 25 versus 50 years and possibility example. Did you have your hand there?
Did we agree on the 25 years?
You would know better than me. You were here. So perhaps we can check with the Honourable Khadebe.
No, Chair, as the advocate has indicated, this matter was flagged. It's something which we still have to reflect to, because the issue, I think what the Honourable Mbuyan raised last week was if the other country, let's say Zimbabwe, protects their people for 50 years, why should we under-protect our people on the side? Ne? But the issue, that's why it was flagged. Ne? So I think that we still have to come back. Let's allow the advocate to continue with this, and then we'll engage.
Because I see, look, we're all living longer, aren't we? I mean, look at myself. Right. No, but advocate, please proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Apologies. The thing that is agreed to is the wording up to. So that is what is agreed to. In other words, that there shouldn't be a single period, because the concern was, but what if I want to assign for 5 years or for 10 years? I should be allowed to. So the up to is what is agreed to. Over on the next page, clause 24. Clause 22A, this deals with orphan works, and this is flagged simply because orphan works could the need for this clause might become redundant if it is provided for in the fair use, fair dealing hybrid clause that we are going to still draft. So that is there. The one thing, though, or two things, though, that was agreed by the committee is if we retain this clause, where we say in the bill, and we're on page 29, going over to 30. So what this says is that your copyright owner now surfaces after a couple of years. And then what the bill said that the copyright owner has 5 years in which to claim royalties. The concern that I had there was I don't understand why the limitation was there, and in a way it amounts to expropriation because that is a right. So the agreement was we remove the limit of 5 years. Once you surface, you can claim your royalties. And the next issue is just how subsection 9 was worded was not aligned with the existing principles of ownership. If you are the copyright owner, you don't have to go to court to enforce your right as an owner. You are the copyright owner. So it was just to reword that and then make provision for registration rather than a claim. So on the next line there is just how 8 and 9 will then read. So the copyright owner may at any time collect the royalties fixed in the license or in default of payment, then you only have to go to legal action. And 9, any person who can adduce evidence for the purposes of proving that he or she is the owner of copyright in an orphan work must submit their details for registration on the database of the Register of Copyright and may then recover the necessary royalties. So it's still a proposal. I don't think the DTI has had a chance to consider whether that will work in practice. But just so that we make it clear that you don't have to go to court to actually get your ownership back. The next clause, clause 25, is a whole chapter that is inserted, and the whole chapter is flagged.
On that note, advocate, we do have tea here, and as we're moving into a new section, this may offer us the opportunity for a little break. So, members, I thought there was a clock here, but I think it's half past, isn't it? 25 past. Let's start again at 25 to sharp. Half past 25 to, thank you.
I'm not sure.